welcome to Pod Mavericks Group Therapy. I am Kirk Henderson. This is our secondary live show that I should do more often, but frankly, there just hasn't been enough to talk about, and I didn't want to grind this whole concept into the ground. The concept of the show is real simple. If you're here in the YouTube live show, I posted a link, which I need to go then pin on YouTube, and then you can click it. You get taken to a room where I will then bring you up on stage. You don't need to show your photo or your camera if you don't have one, but you can hop in from your phone. You can hop in from a computer. It's very easy to do and can be fun if you want, if you have takes you want to get off. I did notice I had a good question that I wanted to address just kind of right off the bat, even though it's not about the game that just happened. We have a new listener in here at Mav 41 fan. He says, I don't know much about the about college players right now. Should the Mavs prioritize drafting the best point guard available? Kind of due to the nature of the way the draft is shaking out this year, I think that happens by default. The Mavericks are currently slated, if everything were to go chalk in the lottery, I think they'd pick sixth. And there are like three guys that should be there at six that they could take. There's a lot of optionality in this year's draft. I recommend going to Mavs Moneyball, checking the sections and clicking on the draft area. We have been doing a ton of work on this. Our draft guys at Mavs Moneyball are very opinionated. I'm just sort of thrilled because I like the whole draft. Like there's a lot of guys I like, so I'm not really married to any one pick, but it's definitely something to be thinking about. So this is a good question. Anybody else that posts questions, I'll try to pay attention to them in chat and answer them. And right now we're going to go kind of person by person who's in here. We got three folks waiting to talk, and you guys will, anybody that's interested, you can click in and join pretty easily. So up first, my friend Killa Cam. How you doing, buddy? Long time no talk.
Yes, sir.
Man, what's happening? What are you thinking?
Man, like for your, I keep going to a player comp, man. And more and more I'm watching, man, more and more I'm feeling like he's a Kawhi Tatum hybrid with a splash of LeBron.
See, and that's just the whole ass new player, what you're describing.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, I know. It was like, man, like the stuff he can do, man, like I see all three players, mm-hmm. and I see a little bit of like Garnett as well. So I was like a Kawhi Tatum hybrid with a splash of Garnett and LeBron, which is that is an insane player.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, gosh, I just, man, if we can just, I'm honestly fine with where we land, but if we get it in the top four, man, that would be life changing. Like this dude's so special, man. Like we can just get like another quality person, but if we land in the top four, we have a greater chance of just landing an absolute star.
Sure.
And if we get another young star behind him and with him, that would be crazy.
Anybody that you're particularly married to after this, you know, we got a couple of games left, the final four this weekend, you know, Keaton Wagler plays tomorrow. That's going
to
be,
I would say like to rank them, I would say Peterson, but it's like flip flop between Peterson and DeBonta.
Okay.
Caleb will, so either those are 1A, these are the 1 or 2. 3, Caleb Wilson. 4, Wagler. 5, Boozer. 6. Six is...
That's where it starts to get a little dicey.
No, yeah. 6 is Filon to me. 6 is Filon, and 7 is Burries, and then 8 is Acuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so either 1 or 2 is Peterson or Bonsa. 3 is Caleb Wilson. 4 is Keaton Wagler. 5 is Cam Boozer. 6 is Filon. 7 Burries. 8
Filon Filon, what a great tournament for that guy. Yeah. University of Alabama, like, point guard.
I'm really high on him. Like, I think, even though I would take, like, Caleb, if we're on top four, I'm not drafting him. But I wouldn't. But if we do, like, kind of drop down, I'll be perfectly fine taking him because I feel like he has a chance to be like his ceiling could be like a baby SGA who's not as good of a scorer, but will be a slightly better passer than this version of SGA. Like, I think that's his ceiling. So I'm really high on Filon. You know what I'm saying? So like,
the only player I really don't like, and this is not, I don't like him, I just don't want to have to build around his deficiencies, is
Acuff. And me, that's like awesome. For me, it's like Acuff and Amunt. Like even though I would, if your drive is Amunt, I wouldn't be mad at Acuff. I would just be kind of like, eh. I'll be with the Acuff.
They'd be really fun, but I don't think they could win.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. They'll be a fun regular season team.
I saw one of those, like, kind of, it's like NBA Central, like, you know, anonymous Western Conference scout just sort of saying, you know, like, and I might do this just for fun because I want to be petty when it gets to the playoffs. Like, go back and look at, like, the final eight teams in the NBA and tell me how many players are shorter than 6'4" within a rotation. I mean, size is such a differentiating factor at the NBA level. Yeah. And we don't talk about it enough because when you're watching college, some of these guys are so awesome. Like watching what Acuff did at his size and efficiency was so awesome. But
I just can't trust that in the playoffs.
Yeah. Again,
and
it's
then
like
also defense is this.
And I don't know, because then you start talking about these things, particularly with really it'll be the highest pick the Mavericks have for the next 10 years. Like they just have to nail it. And like, I just can't get married to that sort of thing. And it's difficult to choose from. So like Mav 41 fan asking these sort of questions, like, I don't know who it's also really fun. I recommend getting into it just because it's really fun to form opinions on these guys, because the Mavericks also have a pick at the end of the first round and then the end of the second round, which...
Oh, too far. I don't want to get too hard into the lottery because like, I don't want to really fall in love with a guy, but then once the lottery happens, we're just too low to get him. So I kind of want to wait.
Sure.
If to really go... I'm already kind of in the draft now, but... I don't want to wait until we get lottery happens so we can actually kind of see where we are, because if you get my four, I'm just gonna just be daydreaming Caleb Wilson and fly together. Like, but if we land six, you know, it'll be kind of more of a discussion between like Wagler.
Yeah.
But like I'll take Wagler there because I really like
his. I'm interested in Wagler.
I really like his frame.
I'm interested in Wagler. This is the University of Illinois guy. And so if you haven't watched him, you can watch him play this weekend. The fact that they moved him into the point guard role and he got more efficient is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
The fact that he wasn't also, like, ranked.
I like his frame. Like he's small now, but he doesn't have like the Giannis broad shoulders, like even when Giannis was super skinny. So he'll probably never develop like the upper body, but like his lower body is surprisingly kind of like
teams haven't been able to speed him up, and that's a really important thing.
But also like level. I'm really like we're actually pretty good at bully ball, except at the final moment, maybe because his upper body is just too weak to finish. But he's actually really good at like bullying down smaller defenders. So it's like because in my opinion, it's because he has like surprisingly muscular legs for how skinny he is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he has like wide receiver legs.
Sure.
Like he doesn't have running back legs. He has like, but he has more developed legs than I've seen of other players. So it's like if it was just like a string bean, I'll be more cautious of him. But since he has a good lower body, I'm willing to take the chance on him more to gain strength and athleticism in the pros with the proper nutrition and strength training. But I don't know, man. Like, if you get a good enough offer, I may want to like trade down.
Sure. Well, that's why I think not thinking about it too hard until the lottery is what you said earlier. That's the right choice.
Because I don't want to get married to like
a player. Yeah. I get it.
To Benzo or like Peterson, and then we get six. So I was like, well, fuck. You know what I'm saying? I was imagining the Bansa and Coop, the Pearson and Coop, and Kyrie, and then like then the Babs are number six. Like, damn it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I won't get heartbroken, but yeah, he.
Sure.
Coop is a completely different archetype, man. He's a new breed.
Great stuff, man. Well, you got anything else for us tonight? Anything you're thinking about? I know it's been a month or so since I've done one of these.
I think I could have my most. But I will always say, like, okay, Caleb Wilson, like, I do kind of feel like his archetype is like a Giannis KG hybrid. And even though the shooting will kind of be a little bit clunky at first, I think that could be a really fun pairing with Cooper. So that's why I actually have Caleb Wilson in my Mavs specific rankings higher than Boozer, because I think if you can just Caleb Wilson ceiling and Cooper Fly ceiling, that can be like that could be absolutely insane, defensively and offensively. You know what I'm saying? Because both have shown that they're kind of they can get a shot. They're just both of them are just developing it right now. But if both of them could like get a consistent shot, man, it'll be scary. So that's why, even though Boozer is the better college player, and I'm not super low on Boozer either, but I would lean more toward Caleb Wilson over Boozer.
If that makes sense. Well, yeah, man. Thanks for hopping in here.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Talk soon.
Yes, sir. Have a night.
Yep. All right. Up next, my friend Ash Boeing. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen the show for a while.
I've not done one because I don't want to be negative all the time. Like when you lose like 13 straight games or whatever it is, there's just nothing to talk about.
Well, I've been glued to CNN because we're in this war that my son may be fighting here pretty soon. So shout out to all the Marines out there.
That's right.
Okay, so more and more I'm getting excited about Braden Burries because he does so much without having to have the ball in his hands. You know, it seems like he's scoring 16, 17, 18 points a game, and he may have the ball in his hands for like 2 minutes. For the whole game, and that kind of guy that can get you points without having to dominate the ball, he would be a perfect sidekick for someone like Luka. He's going to be a real good sidekick for Flag, because Flag is like controlling the ball a lot these days, and Burries can play off of that, and it's. And he plays better defense than I think anybody in the top any of the guards that we're really looking at. So
right,
that's the guy. He also can get around people, and get to the rim and finish at the rim, which is something that Wagler can't do. And then finally, when you look at his season, the last 16 games in February and March, he's shooting 44% from three. Whereas everybody else that's in that tier, their 3-point percentages are going down. Mm-hmm. His is actually going up. So it seems to me like he's just improving, and you're looking at a guy that could shoot 42-43% from three, while also being able to get to the rim and finish pretty well. So that's why I like Burries, I think, but. Watching this game tonight, I will tell you that, when you watch the first 4 minutes of the third quarter, I was just in awe of Cooper scoring 10 points in like 2 minutes. I mean, just, that
really easy points.
That start of the third quarter was just insane. And that's something that I think, he's probably going to end up doing his whole career is who else was pretty good about that was Michael Jordan. You see him kind of rest the whole first quarter. In the last 2 or 3 minutes of the first quarter, he'd score like 6 points. And then he'd do the same thing, in the second quarter. And then he'd take over the game in the fourth quarter when he needed to. But, he'd just get his points in like little flurries. And that's something that you see Cooper doing. And like I said, in like a minute and a half, he went from 13 to 23 points. And you're just like, whoa, this is, you start thinking, well, he's having a really inefficient game. And all of a sudden, because it takes him, 12 shots to score 13 points. And then all of a sudden now he's scored, 23 in like 16 shots. And where'd that come from? So, and that's something I think that you can see him do throughout his whole career, which I think is something that it can only be a good, because, when you can just explode like that, you're never out of a game, honestly. So, that's something that I saw tonight. The other thing that I saw was, back to, you know, a decent shooting night for Max Christie, who hasn't shot well, you know, as of late. So, you know, it was good to see him shoot well as well. So, you know, finally I'll end on this. You know, if the Mavericks do get top four, I'm not real sure about Caleb Wilson because I don't know how the spacing would work.
From a pure talent thing, I get it. It's just, it's like, I they would have to reshape their whole team. And then I watch the teams that I think are going to be dominant this year. You know, that are dominant. It's bigger for, like, I see his argument. They had future picks to go get, I'd be okay with it, but they don't have anything.
I just don't know how the spacing would work. I mean, especially if Cooper, you know, is a 34-35% three-point shooter. Now, I think he'll shoot better. Okay, I believe that he'll shoot better than that. But, you know, I just don't know how the spacing works with him, Lively, and Cooper on the floor the way Cooper shoots the three right now, tonight notwithstanding. You know, it just gets clunky. It's kind of like, you know, I remember you and Josh talking about this earlier in the season where, you know, you had Cooper every time he turned the corner, all of a sudden Davis pops up in his way and, you know, impedes his progress. The same kind of thing would happen if Caleb Wilson's on the floor.
I mean, the same sort of shit honestly happened with LeBron James. Like, Anthony Davis, the way he wanted to play basketball was just not the way basketball is played anymore. And Trae Young's about to find out that shit next year. It's going to be very funny for those guys.
Well, it's kind of funny you mentioned Trae Young because, you know, when people mention to me Darius Acuff, that's who I think about as Trae Young.
Trae, is the Oklahoma season was such a shooting outlier, and no one wants to talk about that. He was so good that one year, and he has never come close to shooting like that again.
Well, and it's a tiny little guy that can't play defense, you know, that can score, that can distribute, that can score, but he's just not contributing to winning basketball. And, you know, I feel like maybe Acuff may end up like that, you know. Yep. I take a look at guys like a guy like Malik Thomas. You know, I didn't realize this, but he's shooting 40. He shot 41% from three this year. You know, he's a 6'4" guy that could probably, you know, if you're drafting, you know, for that number 30 pick, you know, that may be a guy you want to look at because this team needs 40% 3-point shooters right now. I mean, they just do, and that's, you know, especially
every team does.
Especially if you're going to have Cooper. You know, if you can create space for Cooper, especially a Cooper that comes back next year after, you know, 6 months on an NBA strength program, and then you put two or three 40% 3-point shooters on the floor, which the Mavericks are really close to doing right now with Kyrie, Max, and, you know, maybe they get somebody else that can shoot 40%, you know, and you put Cooper on the floor with three guys like that and Lively. You know, look out because he may be almost impossible to stop as a freight train rolling, you know, rolling off a pick and roll with Lively, you know, and you know, that may be really scary for the league because then he's passing to, you know, 40%, you know, 40% spot up shooters. Yeah. You know, that could be a, you know, I hate to say this because people think I'm too optimistic, but, you know, if Kyrie comes back at, you know, shooting the ball at any semblance of the way he shot the ball before he left, and you get maybe somebody else that can even shoot, you know, 36-38% to give Cooper three guys out there that he can, you know, he can pass to, it could get real scary for the league, you know, even if Cooper's not shooting well from three. So
my guy Jack, one of my writers, he says, you're telling me Cooper Flagg outscored the UConn Huskies tonight? Oh, sorry. That just made me laugh because I was.
Well, it was really cool because I got to watch, you know, Cooper and AJ Johnson combine for 53 points. So, yep. You know, it's, I can always say that. So, you know, but yeah, that's pretty funny actually. So, you know, but, you know, that's kind of, I think we're going to be decent next year when everybody thinks we're going to be really bad next year, because I just, you know, Kyrie and Lively coming back is like adding, you know, two, you know, really good players to a team that, you know, play 40 clutch games. You know, and how do those clutch games end when you got a closer like Kyrie, you know, and a guy that can, you know, protect the rim like
Lively? One solution is not playing 45 clutch games. Like, that's the actual solution, is go win some fucking basketball games with some authority. And I think I think they can do, I don't know. This is where the kid element of it comes in, because like, you go look at it, if you're ever interested, just go look at the Mavericks clutch game numbers, like how many they've played. In 2022-23, they played like 54 clutch games. Now, you can sit here and say, okay, that's indicative of a good coach, because that Mavericks team was not very good. And then I bet if you look at the 21-22 team, they also played a ton of clutch games. And it's like, I'm sorry, I need, like, you cannot constantly be playing high-stress basketball. Like, the NBA season is too long. And this is where I question Kidd in a lot of ways, because his teams always play hard. But then, and this is where, you know, coming into next year, is if things are going to matter, you have to have different gears to get to. And that's one thing Kidd's teams have not had, unless they make an in-season trade. Like the 2023-24 Mavs, you know, they needed Gafford. They just did. PJ was obviously a pretty nice bonus, but like, Gafford helped Lively figure his shit out. And then the Mavericks soared from there. Also, the rule changes. And it's just, it's very difficult for me, because we're five seasons through with Kidd, and I kind of don't get it. I'm not seeing what happens from there. And so it's like, next season, they have to be in a better place where they're winning games with more authority. That, you know, I don't know. I the clutch thing just drives me crazy.
Well, when you look at Kidd, you look at him, he does well every other year. And the reason that's
not anymore. This is two straight ass years.
Well, but the reason that was always the case was he wears a team out that does real well. I mean, think about all the clutch games that NBA Finals team had to play, and think about how probably exhausted by the end of the season they were. Okay.
Sure.
And that takes a whole nother season to get over.
No, that's true.
You know, and so you get a good year, and then you get this year where everybody's trying to catch their breath, and then you get another good year.
That's right.
So, you know, that's, you know, Kidd is a pretty good every other year coach, you know, and, you know, it was kind of like the year they won 67 games, you know, their average margin of victory was like 3 points or something. Yes, like
it was one of the lowest. They won a ton of clutch games, and you can say Dirk was why, but also when it came down to brass tacks, like they didn't have it. They didn't have another place to get to.
Right, they didn't have that other gear that you're talking about, and you need that other gear. So, All right, man. Well, I'm gonna let you get off to Invincible, because I you know, once you mentioned it, I was very, very interested in watching.
No, I forgot it was on. Like, my wife and I watched we watched this truly hilarious, awful Hulu show called Paradise. And like, we watched three episodes, and it was like 11:15. I was like, God, I gotta get to bed. I just got to. So, all right, man. We'll talk soon. All right.
All right, bro. Talk to you later.
Okay, before I bring my final guest MJ up on, I want to just let people know they can still join if they want. I'm going to insert some ads here, but it's really easy. You just click on that button in the link, and you can come up here and ask me a question or talk basketball. If there are any other questions in the chat, I'll scroll through and try to answer them. So I'll insert some ads, then be right back. And we're back. This is Pod Maverick Group Therapy. I'm joined now by MJ. What's up, buddy? Long time no talk.
Yeah, how you doing, Kirk? I want to tell you, I really appreciate you doing these things, especially some of these meaningless blowout games, you know?
It gets very bleak. And it's like, I'm contractually obligated to watch. And I'm just we were talking about this because in Mavs Moneyball, we have staffers that are as young as, like, you know, early 20s. And then we have one guy, Brent, who's in his mid-50s. And it's just, you know, depending on the point in life that you're in, sometimes it's just very difficult to consistently watch sports. Because it's my job, I'm doing so.
Right.
This is – the last 15 games have been much more obligation because of the job than wanting to watch. But you're treated every now and again – to something really fucking awesome.
Like, yes.
I wouldn't have watched tonight unless I was obligated to. And then I got to watch a great game, and I'm glad.
I didn't even know the game was on. I was watching the Knicks pummel the Bulls. That was ridiculous on NBA TV. My God. And then I was like, oh, maybe the Mavericks, because I knew they're playing Sunday. So I'm like, they're not going to be up till Sunday. So I turned it on to Mavs TV and I saw the game. And I saw when I turned it on, Cooper had made like five straight shots. I'm like, my God, he is hot. And he was heating up. When I started watching, I think he had like 20, 22 points. And then all of a sudden, he just, my gosh, unbelievable. But, you know, the previous caller was bringing up my point about the clutch games. I know it drives you crazy. But if you look at it from a, you know, if you look at it positively, that, I mean, if you look at the Mavs team, I mean, of course, missing Lively was huge, right? I mean, you have to wonder if they had Lively, if they win a lot more, you know, those close games, you know. But you have to look at that they had a decent roster. They have Cooper Flagg. You know, they had some players that but we had talked about, you had talked about, that really don't go maybe the best with Cooper Flagg, you know.
Right.
Some of the forwards and stuff, and, you know, where they're just kind of it's kind of redundant. You know, they do the same thing. But you have to wonder, man, you get Kai back, you get Kyrie, you get Lively, you get a new, you know, pick, you know, a top pick, and then with Cooper. And you have to wonder, with all these close games, man, maybe they start winning some of these close games. So people are still saying they're going to be way off. And I'm telling you, man, you look at Cooper Flagg, okay, look at where he was from the beginning of the year to where he is now. Now watch him after 6 months of an offseason, as dedicated as a maniac he is in the gym and practicing. Who knows, next year he might, I'm not going to say he's going to be a 40% three-point shooter, but I'm expecting him to really improve his outside shot.
I think that's right, yeah.
And if he does that, all bets are off, man. I mean, Kyrie, this is my only question, though, is why the hell did they not fucking get a better point guard? I mean, I think I know why, because I think they knew that with Anthony Davis, his injuries and all the bullshit we were going through, we all knew this was going to be a sucky season. And then we had to get rid of his ass. But when we did that, I think if they were real serious, they would have gotten a better point guard. And I think we would have won a lot more games if we had a bona fide. I mean, not Nebhard. I mean, he's okay, but I mean, be serious. Come on.
He's not a starting level guard.
No, he's not. And if we had a starting level guard, I think we win a lot more games, but we're still not in contention. We're still not probably, maybe we make the play in at best, if that. But so maybe the way they did it, they kind of saw, okay, we're going to rebuild. You know, the season's going to be a down season. And if you look at history, look what happened last time. I mean, we had a down season, we got Lively. And then we go to the finals, you know. Sure. So who knows? Maybe the same thing happens. And I question why some of these players like Thompson and the new guy we picked up from the Bucks, why they didn't want to go to. It makes me wonder why they didn't want to go to some teams to play in the playoffs. You know, I mean, Detroit, I think would have done. Thompson, I think would have been really good in Detroit. And people were talking about him going to Detroit, but I guess, you know, he likes it here in Texas, but I'm just really surprised, unless they think that, you know, that there's going to be better, you know, roads ahead, like next year, you know, makes you wonder, you know.
Well, I'm looking forward to next year. I would like to speed forward through it, and not, because next week the Mavericks play 2 9 o'clock games, which I'm not really looking forward to.
Oh God.
There's only like, what are we at now? We're at game 77. So there's only like 4 games left. So this is not really that big of a deal, but I'm whiny at this point. I just don't want to do something else.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you hopping in here.
Well, man, I appreciate it, buddy. All the best, buddy. Talk to you. Talk to you soon.
Okay. I love this. One of my neighbors has hopped in the chat and told me I need to come have drinks with him and a number of my other neighbors. Problem is, my children are at home here sleeping, and leaving them is probably a bad idea. Anyway, all right, guys, I'm going to go watch some TV. Actually, I got to go edit all this mess. I'll be back on Sunday. Josh and I will be. Thanks for hanging out for a second show here. I know I haven't done one in a while. Appreciate the support. Everybody, talk soon. Go Mavs.